This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm superstar Frank Morano, not even close too tired yet. We have way too much to do coming up a little bit later this hour. We are going to chat with Jumpin' James Flippin, since my colleague Noam Layden is off for Passover, so I'm looking forward to that. It's always interesting, nice change of pace to get James Flippin in here, so we'll see what he has to say. Hopefully it is something interesting, and then we'll also take your calls at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Now, I, for starters, you know, I'm still mourning the fact that Netflix is not offering DVD service anymore. I ended my Netflix subscription service with 500 DVDs left in my queue, and there's no other service like that. I wish they would have sold it off to another company that was willing to take those million or so customers. But I've railed against that. I've talked about it, and I've moved on. I've accepted it. I've gone through all the stages, right? I've gone through denial and whatever else, bargaining, and then ultimately you get to acceptance. So I don't really shop at Target. Honestly, I don't really shop, right? But my wife shops at Target from time to time. I think my mom shops there as well. And they are doing something that I think is a step in the wrong direction, but I feel like maybe I'm the only one. I'm fighting a losing race against time. Target is scaling back the presence of physical media in its stores. A spokesperson for the department store told IGN, a publication, that the company is transitioning the limited assortment of DVDs it sells in stores to its website. Moving forward, we'll offer select DVDs in stores when they are newly released or during key times throughout the year when they're more popular, like for gift giving during the holidays. That will make Target's physical DVD section even smaller and only available during specific times. You'll still be able to buy thousands of DVDs on Target's website, But how broad is this election really going to be? So reports about the store backing away from DVDs first emerged on Wednesday when it started getting talked about on Twitter that the store is going to stop selling physical media in store and online by 2025. Apparently, that's only partially true. As Tarjay is telling it, it will still sell physical games and physical DVDs in store and online while the DVD aisle is taking a pretty hard hit. The Verge reached out to them for more information about the change as well as when it will take place, but they didn't immediately hear back. With the rise of streaming and digital games, physical media has become an afterthought for a lot of people. But I'll tell you, as someone that really enjoys still going to the store and browsing the DVDs and potentially purchasing them, I think this is a real shame. I think it's a shame not only for Tarjay, because honestly, I can't remember the last time I was in one of these stores. I imagine it's been within the last year, though. I've accompanied my wife on one of her trips there. I think it's a shame because it makes it easier for the next store to get rid of DVDs and the next store and the next store. And there's a lot of us that still rely on DVDs. And it's just so interesting to me that this store is still going to be selling Taylor Swift's album in vinyl form, from what I understand, but they're basically making their DVDs, at least for in-store purchases, a thing of the past. How soon until they do away with it online as well? A lot of us like DVDs. My DVD player, it's actually a Blu-ray disc player, it works fine. The selection of films that are available on DVDs, and this is one of the big problems that I had with Netflix, the selection of films available on DVD is so much greater than the selection of films available for streaming. And I like to be able to pause. I like to be able to pop the DVD in, see the trailers. I like the whole DVD experience. I like the chapters. I like the special features. And streaming's just not the same. Look, I've streamed movies, but it's just not the same situation. So I am sorry to see that Tarjay is doing this, and I fear that once they stop selling Blu-ray movies, you're going to see a lot of other places start doing the same thing. And they're not alone. Best Buy has announced that they're going to stop selling DVDs and Blu-rays. We've told you about what Netflix has already done. So it's really a shame. It's really just a shame. I don't know. I think at this point, if you're like me and you like buying DVDs, I think the only major retailers, and correct me if I'm wrong, 800-848-9222, the only major retailers that still offer DVD sales are Walmart and Barnes & Noble. And how long is that going to last? Once they see that the trend is to get out of selling physical media. I have a feeling that within literally a year or two, trying to buy a DVD in a store is going to be like trying to buy a VHS tape in a store. I've been trying to get my wife to agree to set up one of these free Blockbuster libraries where, you know, we talked to the founder of this movement where basically it's a little library. You know how they have these little store, not stores, but little booths on the corners of streets where people can drop off books and take books. Well, there's the same thing for free Blockbuster, only it's for VHS tapes and DVDs. But my wife insists that no one watches VHS tapes anymore, and she also doesn't want any more uninvited guests popping into our house than are already coming there on a daily basis. I think my wife is probably at about her quota of guests just dropping in at inconvenient times, and she's concerned that that will exacerbate the situation. All right, I'd love to know your view on this. they're doing away with DVDs at Target. And I think that is a real shame. 800-848-9222. Am I alone in this one? Maybe I am. 800-848-9222. Speaking of movies, in an interview with GQ, Jerry Seinfeld, who's got a new movie out. I don't know if it's actually out now or it's forthcoming about it's called Frosted. It's a fictitious look at the history of the Pop-Tart. And actually, I saw it advertised on CBS Sunday Morning and he was talking about it and I saw clips of it. Looks hysterical. I actually can't wait to see it. And I think it's in theaters now as well. But after being involved in the production of a film, says, quote, "The movie business is over. And film doesn't occupy the pinnacle in the cultural hierarchy anymore." I hate to say it, but I think he's right. He says the movie business is over and film doesn't occupy the pinnacle in the cultural hierarchy anymore. I think it's a shame. I'm certainly nostalgic for the whole tradition of going to the multiplex, but unfortunately he's right. So he said, quote, "Film doesn't occupy the pinnacle in the social cultural hierarchy that it did for most of our lives. When a movie came out, if it was good, we all went to see it. We all discussed it. We quoted lines and scenes we liked. Now we're walking through a fire hose of water just trying to see." And he's asked in this GQ interview, so what, if anything, has replaced film? Depression, malaise, I would say confusion, disorientation replaced the movie business, he answered. "Everyone I know in show business every day is going, what's going on? How do you do this? What are we supposed to do now? I've done enough stuff that I have my own thing, which is more valuable than it's ever been. Stand up is like you're a cabinet maker, and everybody needs a guy who's good with wood. There's trees everywhere, but to make a nice table, it's not so easy. So the metaphor is that if you have good craft and craftsmanship, you're kind of impervious to the whims of industry, of the industry. Audiences are now flocking to stand up because it's something you can't fake. It's like platform diving. You could say you're a platform diver, but in 2 seconds, we can see if you are or you aren't." I think that's interesting. And in reading that, both his take on the film industry and his takeaway on the durability of stand-up, it leads me to think about radio as well. And when I say radio, I don't mean podcasts. And, you know, I appreciate everybody that listens to this show and podcast, but I'm talking about good old-fashioned terrestrial radio, which I still think there's a place for. And, you know, I was at this event the other night, and I met this guy for the first time, and he had seen me at the event. He says, "Oh, you're Frank Morano." And I said, "Yeah, hi, nice to meet you." I don't remember this fellow's name. Chris, I think his name was. And nice enough guy, young professional. And he says, "So you really work in AM radio?" And the way he said it, this was a young man, maybe about 25, 26. He said that the way I would describe meeting a telegraph operator in this day and age. I said, "Yeah, I do." He says, "Wow, that's still around, huh?" And he's not joking. He wasn't, I don't think he was anyway. I don't think he was patronizing me. I said, "Yeah, still around, still kicking." And he says, that's incredible to me because it's just such an old technology. Yeah, thank you, Chris. I get it. Nice to meet you too. Can I sit somewhere else?" So, I mean, again, he didn't mean it to be mean. So I didn't give him an attitude or anything, but it's just so interesting. And I hope, maybe I'm fighting a losing battle here. In clinging through, maybe I'm like the 21st century Joe Franklin. You know, in the 1980s and 1990s, Joe was still watching 16 millimeter films in his apartment and was just loving silent films and writing books about everything nostalgia. He claimed to have invented the word nostalgia. Maybe that's me. Maybe nostalgia today is AM radio, DVDs, and going to the movies. I'm not against streaming and podcasts and everything else, but I think these are forms of entertainment and information that have served not only me, but the public well for many years. And I think it's a shame to see them occupy a different place in the cultural zeitgeist. 800-848-9222. By the way, Jerry Seinfeld, if you're interested in seeing that movie Frosted, was on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and here he describes how he came up with the film. I'm having a problem with this computer, Matt, I can't get the mouse to work. If one of you can play that Jerry Seinfeld clip, that would be super. And if we could also maybe have somebody look at this computer, which doesn't allow me to click only one file, that would be super. So if you have that Seinfeld clip, go ahead and play it. All right, if you don't worry about it. 800-848-9222. We'll move on. Tom!
You come on the show. I go, what are you up to? You go, I'm going to work in this movie. It's coming out. We're going to work in it right now. It's called Unfrosted.
Unfrosted.
Unfrosted. You wrote it. You directed it. Mm-hmm. You star in it. Mm-hmm. It is about the invention of Pop-Tarts.
Right.
This is what you said to me.
He's not making this up.
This is what you... You said, and I go, really? This is it? But then I go, why? Why Pop-Tarts? Why what is this thing, Unfrosted? And you go, it was just a joke that you had in your act.
It was a joke. And my friend Spike Ferriston, who was one of the writers from my series, you remember the episode, The Soup Nazi?
Yeah!
Okay. He wrote that episode. And he said, so we were in the COVID thing. Yeah. He says, we would joke about we should make the Pop-Tart story a movie. And, you know, you go, yeah, sure, you know. And so we're in the COVID thing. He says, let's write that Pop-Tart movie. I go, it's not a movie. I don't know. Where's the movie?
Yeah.
But, you know, we were all, you remember, doing nothing. So got another couple of guys from the series, set up the Zoom, started writing. The next thing we knew, it was a script. And then it became a movie. And we just finished it like a month ago. And it's coming out now.
It's...
So I am looking forward to seeing that. I would love to try and get to a movie theater, but our schedule is so weird that to try and do that and get a babysitter and the rest, it is it's difficult. So we'll see. 800-848-9222. Yeah, I saw that it's on Netflix, but my point was that I think there's something special about going to the multiplex and experiencing it in a cinematic fashion rather than just watching it on your television screen.
Oh, it's going to be released in a theater?
Yeah, that's my understanding, cool. Right? I mean, I think there are theatrical showings of it, but...
Yeah, I agree with you about going to the movie theater is a much better and different experience than watching it at home. And I don't think that's nostalgic yet, going to the movies. DVDs are nostalgic.
Well, why, though? Why? I mean, they're so great. I think they're... I like a DVD collection the same way I like a book collection. When I go to someone's house, the first thing that I am looking at is their book collection, and the second thing I'm looking at is their DVD collection. And it's a great thing to talk about with them. Oh, you're a fan of whatever, The Sopranos. It's a fun thing.
Well, I agree in the way that I was never a big VHS guy when everybody was getting VHS movies or even collecting them and recording them off of HBO or whatever. I wasn't into that, but I was into getting DVDs because of all the extras
right. That
came
That's what I'm
with
saying.
The DVD.
Yeah.
So I do understand what you mean when you say that, but I think that we're now getting used to this whole streaming and that it's so much more convenient than... Having if I think of a movie that I don't have on DVD and I want to watch it, all I got to do is go to one of the gazillion streaming services that I have because I have every one, and that movie is going to be there
most of the time. And then a lot of times they'll charge you for that, which is why that Netflix service was so great. By the way, maybe you're right. Maybe Unfrosted is not playing in theaters because at least as of now. I'm not seeing it listed either in theaters currently or coming soon. So there's that. All right. A lot of people eager to comment on this. 800-848-9222. Tom is in Baltimore. Hi, Tom.
Yes, as Tucker Carlson has pointed out, once they go to streaming, they can limit your knowledge base. They can limit what you know by simply eliminating certain events, say, from history, so that you don't know about it. And if you had it in a private inventory, you could still maintain the knowledge and pass it on.
Well, that is, first of all, I was all set to say something snarky and be and dismissive of that whole attitude, but there is something to that, right? We had on the producer of Jesse Ventura's conspiracy show, and he said, and it was one of the most remarkable things that any guest has ever said to me. He said essentially that they were able to delete a segment from everybody's DVR about that conspiracy show, and they wouldn't have been able to do that if you had that on a VHS tape or a DVD, Tom. So again, I think it's interesting that Tucker Carlson is saying that when he's seen digitally now and on streaming, but it's not the craziest thing. I don't think that's why Tarjay did this. I think they did it. I think it was simply a business decision. I think they felt that they could, I think they felt that they could make more money by not doing this. So, I don't know. 800-848-9222. David is in the Bronx. Hi, David.
Yes, good morning. As you may recall, I worked in retail for a very long time, and part of that was in a business that sold DVDs and DVD players. 10 years ago, when I lost my vision, which will be in May, they were already disappearing. The last birthday gift I gave my mom was a DVD VHS player, because my mom had tubs and tubs full of VHS tapes and was trying to switch to DVDs, which she actually did. But, I mean, they were disappearing 10 years ago, Frank, and I'm surprised they're still around. When I lost my vision 10 years ago, computers, laptops had DVD players in them. They don't anymore. I needed to replace my laptop. I didn't realize they didn't come with DVD players anymore.
You know, it's funny. I just looked at mine, and I don't have one either. You're exactly right.
Yeah, people now find it much more convenient just to stream everything. I mean, I do, too. Everything that I listen to, I stream. I don't have physical DVDs or CDs for music anymore. You save the space, and from a retail perspective, that space that's being taken up apparently is better used for other things. I mean, when I used to go to, not Blockbuster, you mentioned it, Best Buy, 10 years ago, as I was losing my vision, I noticed that their section had gotten much smaller and there was hardly anybody in it. They apparently have decided that people just aren't interested anymore. And I know that you're sort of like me, you don't like to change, but, you know, streaming is the wave of the future, and you're just going to have to get used to it, just like with the typewriter disappearing. That's just how the world is.
Well, I still do a lot of stuff with a typewriter, although I do prefer the electric typewriter to the manual one. But, David, I know, obviously, you've talked about before, you have no vision. Do you watch films these days that you haven't seen? Let's say a new film comes out. Will you try to watch it even though you can't see the visual aspect of it?
No. I will listen to movies that I've seen in the past,
right,
like The Exorcist or the Star Wars movies or stuff like that, because that way I can picture in my mind what's actually going on. But with the new media, because I don't know what most of the people look like, like these new singers, like I know what Taylor Swift looks like, but a lot of these new singers, I have no idea what they look like, so I don't listen to them. Because part of enjoying music or movies is being able to see in your head who the people are. And if you don't have that ability, it just kind of loses something. So, I don't take myself to the movies anymore. And I do kind of miss that experience sometimes, but I tried once after I lost my vision, and I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I understand that. Hey, David, thank you. Appreciate the call and the insight. What was I going to say? You know, it's funny that he said that, because Rush Limbaugh, after he lost his hearing and got a cochlear implant, I was at an event where he was answering questions, and maybe he even said this on the radio, I don't recall. And he said the same thing about listening to music, even with his cochlear implant. He said that if he had heard a song, if it was a song that he was already familiar with, meaning a song that he had heard before losing his hearing, he could enjoy that song and make out what it was supposed to be with the cochlear implant. But if it was a new song and he heard it just with the cochlear implant, it just sounded like noise. He couldn't make it out at all. I think in the case of Rush and David, your brain sort of fills in the blanks of what you're missing if you're not getting the whole thing. 800-848-9222. Hannah is in the Bronx. Hello, Hannah.
Hi.
Hi,
Frank. You know, when people come to my house, they recognize three things. They recognize my cats, my books, and my DVD collection. I have over, I'm not exaggerating, I have a two-bedroom apartment. I have over 10,000 DVDs.
Whoa! Wow!
Yeah. Yeah, I used to be a filmmaker when I was like, you know, 20s to 30s, independent films. So I love the Criterion Collection. That has like, you know, legendary movies that like, you know, that they don't make those kind of movies anymore. Those are cinemas. And I use, nowadays, I actually go to the store. Can I mention the store?
Yeah, why not? Go ahead.
Okay, okay. There's a store in Midtown. It's called Book Off. I don't know if you've ever been there.
Book Off?
Yes. It's a store in Midtown. They sell DVDs. It's like almost like a consignment. People basically sell the old DVD collection, but it's like almost like brand new. And some of them is brand new. They just like, you know, sell the DVDs. And I found the most unique DVDs, like foreign films. There they have action films. They used to sell it for 99 cents. They kind of raised up the price.
You know, I love this. This store is not far from where I'm sitting right now. And and I am going to check this out. Next day that I am in here before 8 o'clock, I am going to check this store out. Thanks for the recommendation. Hey, Hannah, obviously I hope you live many, many, many more years. But do you have a plan for when you pass on what you're going to do with your DVDs, 10,000 of them?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because one of my friends who had like even more collection than me, he passed away, and his family gave me more DVDs.
Uh huh.
What am I going to do with that? I mean, I have friends who are like cinema aficionados.
Good.
And they love collecting them, and but the thing is, I really collect unique movies that. Like, people don't even think about, you know what I'm saying? And I also used to collect VHS tapes, too.
Me, too.
I find out. Yeah. I just want to say something real quick about VHS. I found out, I used to have a VCR player. Unfortunately, it malfunctioned, and I can't find someone to fix it. But when I had the VHS, I realized something, that the VHS is longer in duration than the DVD.
Oh.
The DVD was edited, you know?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And but when you compare the longevity of VHS to Laserdisc, forget about it. It blows Laserdisc away. Hannah, thank you. And the reason I asked about Hannah and her DVD collection is because I think it's so sad. I go, I'll see someone at a yard sale or I'll read about stuff at an estate sale and or I'll go to an antique shop and you could tell there are these collections that people have spent their whole life building and then when they die their family has no interest in any of that stuff and they just give it away. And I just think how sad that the person who put so much effort into building that collection would be if it just gets you know, I don't know, wasted or just discarded. Because I'm driving my wife crazy with my book collection. I have maybe, I don't know, realistically, 3,500 books, maybe 3,000, between 3,000 and 3,500 books. And I think that's a realistic estimate. I don't think it's excessive. I don't think it's too conservative. So let's say it's 3,000. My wife is tormented on a daily basis by the amount of books in our house. When she walks into my office, I see her tense up because of all the books that are there. And she will routinely say, I am just going to throw these away or to donate them. And if you don't pick more to donate, I am going to just donate them. And it really hurts every time that she says that. And I recognize that she's right because we don't have the space for all these books, let alone the DVDs. But I always picture one of the people that I have just tremendous admiration for throughout history was Thomas Jefferson. And I know he was a flawed man and he had slaves and he had the relationship with Sally Hemings. I have no defense for that, except the fact that it was the 1800s. He collected all sorts of books, at 6,000 and 6,500 books, maybe more. And that became the Jefferson Library. And he donated those books and they made a library out of it. And I've really always dreamed about having my book collection, including the ones that are signed to me, becoming one day the Murano Library. And maybe with an anecdote of my interaction with that person that signed the book. And I wonder when I die, what'll become of, again, I don't have anywhere near the number of DVDs Hannah has, but what becomes of these books? If my son doesn't want them, if my wife doesn't want them, after I'm gone, are they just going to be gone? And I do find it pretty depressing. Now, there's really no reason to find it depressing because all that information is available out there somewhere. You could read it on a Kindle, although, as Tom in Baltimore said, maybe some of it you can't. There's just something about physical media. My friend Nick Barbaro is always saying Kindle, Kindle, Kindle. Tom, who listens to our show in California, always saying Kindle, Kindle, Kindle. Rudy Giuliani, another guy, always touting the benefits of the Kindle. And I just can't make that transition. I can't. Don't know why. I don't know what in my personality is clinging to physical media, whether it's books or DVDs. When my mom was cleaning out her basement, she made me get rid of a lot of the VHS tapes that I'd been storing there. I'm not going to watch them. And so I really had very little defense but for agreeing to get rid of them. But it really did hurt to get rid of all these things. And I had to do it. I'm not watching them. And they're just sitting there in the basement taking up space in her house. Completely understand where she was coming from. Got rid of a lot of them. She did let me save some of them. But most of them, gone. And I just wonder when people put together collections like that. All right, 800-848-9222. We're going to continue with your calls in a moment. But first, let's check in with Jumpin' James Flippin. We'll do just that straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Top of the hour. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Noam Layden is off for Passover today, wishing everybody a happy Pesach. Elias off for Passover as well. And Matt Blaze, you didn't take off for Passover. How come?
Because I'm a working man, Frank.
Well, I know, but Elias and Noam are working hard. But yeah. So is this a holiday where Jewish folks traditionally will take off? I know Rosh Hashanah it is, but is Passover that way?
Yeah, it depends on where you work and what you do and if you got off and the hours and things like that.
Sounds like you're saying it's an off day for non-essential personnel.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
But we still have a lot of news to get to.
Stand by for the other side of midnight's news.
From New York City, the other side of midnight. Price and its affiliated stations present national and international news with Frank Morano and news
James
director Noam Layden. Their summary of the world news and personal comments. Get the rest of the story.
Hello, James.
Hey, yes, hello. Good morning, Frank. And let me say, Chag Sameach. To your listeners.
Absolutely. You're not Jewish, are you?
I'm not.
Are you Irish?
Yeah, I'm a UK mutt in many ways.
Gotcha. Okay. So I have no questions for you about the holiday.
No. I wouldn't have anything to say. But I will just piggyback on a story you told earlier this morning on the air about how Curtis Sliwa asked you for a phone number. You texted him the phone number. Then he texted you back the phone number.
Right.
Very efficient.
And
stuff.
I said, I just gave you this phone number, and he gives me a thumbs up back
tremendous emoji. Tremendous stuff. So I will sometimes get texts from him randomly that's intended for a different James. And I try to tell him, Curtis, you sent it to the wrong James. I don't know if it registers or not, but, you know, you have to hope that it eventually gets where it is going.
You know, it's so funny, the wrong text thing. The worst is when you're going to text someone about someone else, and then you accidentally text the person.
I wish
that
I could
you
say I've never
about.
Done that. Yeah,
it is that you want to talk about a moment where you instantly get a chill down your spine, and that's why you really have to be careful, right? You can't rush this stuff. I did that my first week working here with Chad Lopez, and let me tell you something, that went over like a lead balloon. You know, that happens when you text.
Well, you know, Curtis sometimes likes to call you the George Costanza of radio. I don't always necessarily agree, but that particular story lends a lot of credibility to
that
being
true. Yeah, Larry David come up with that accidental
yes.
text message on purpose.
Right,
my
right.
friend Bill Marco, he texted me the other day. He said, this is 7 days ago, a week ago today. Frank, we are heading to Welland Park. Meeting an agent to see your place. I get in around 12:30. Before that way, be that way after. Maybe we meet to eat dinner like 5 or 6. Let me know. No, I had no plans with Bill Marco. And I said, today? Question mark. And then he got me confused with somebody named Frank Marino. So I like to just go along
yeah.
with it. But, you know, sometimes it works,
right.
sometimes it doesn't. Hey, what's in the news, James?
Okay, so this was just something interesting. You know, obviously here in New York, we're covering all these protests going on at Columbia University. And just this past weekend, on April 20th, we passed the 25th anniversary of Columbine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back in 1999. I noticed on X a little note, historical nugget that came across that got me thinking concerning the protests at Columbia. It was in 1989 on April 22nd, which we just passed, when students started gathering in Tiananmen Square in China, because that was the funeral of Hu Yaobang, who was a CCP secretary who basically was very into like democratic reforms. So when he died, his death kind of came like a martyrdom type cause for that advancing of democratic reform. So, yeah, April 22nd, 1989 was when those students really started gathering in Tiananmen Square.
That's interesting. I had no idea that was the anniversary.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So we got that. And then I heard you talking about the connection between faith and drug abuse mm-hmm. earlier and mm-hmm. kind of your thoughts on
yeah,
some of that
well,
stuff.
And if people didn't hear that conversation, I posted this study on my Facebook page. They can take a look at it. But basically, this Harvard professor, who's very well respected, Tyler Vanderweel, wrote about it in Harvard Public Health and has a lot of data to back this up.
And I'm curious to get your take on this as a RFK Jr. guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel about vaccines, just kind of in general, but there's a story that's coming out here where there's a research suggesting that successful vaccine could help with xylazine, which is that trank drug that's really making
a
mess of things in Philadelphia, in particular, like in the Kensington neighborhood, where people's like skin is just rotting. They're, you know, injecting this horse tranquilizer that literally kills their flesh. And this, apparently this vaccine could help with that particular drug.
Well, I mean, I'd certainly be open to this. I'm vaccinated, and certainly my son is. I think, you know, my beef is not with vaccines. My beef is with what we had during COVID, where people weren't able to go to work, where they weren't able to go into restaurants, where they weren't able to, you know, do certain things that are a regular part of life because they made a different choice about their own health. And I don't know how you tell, like, you know, and my friend Andrew Giuliani, my colleague here, the guy is very healthy. And if he makes a decision and had already had COVID And yet they actually were excluding him from television debates when he was running for governor because he made the decision and his doctor made the decision not to get vaccinated. Now, to me, that's insane. And, you know, that's not foolish. It's just insane. So that's the kind of thing that I like about RFK. And I asked RFK, you know, in one of my first interviews with him as a presidential candidate, I said, you know, I'm vaccinated. Am I somebody that could vote for you? And he said, yeah. He says, my wife is vaccinated. Half my children are vaccinated, meaning for COVID. He says, I'm not against vaccinations. I'm just pro-choice. Mm-hmm. And people should be able to make decisions about their own body. And I think there is a certain logic to that. So, yeah, that's interesting. I'm curious to see where that goes because this trank is a real problem.
Yeah, it's really foul stuff. And then just last thing, the Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday over whether or not homeless people can be cited for camping on public property. This is that case out of mm-hmm. Oregon where basically the city of Grants Pass wants to be able to stop people from camping on public property. This is a park, in essence, where people were setting up tents.
Yeah, from what I read, it sounded like the justices seemed favorably inclined towards the city's argument that you can get rid of the homeless people.
There was some audio I heard from Brett Kavanaugh, though, where he wasn't maybe quite so convinced.
Really?
It's interesting you think about like these swing votes with the court. You know what I mean? Yes, it's got the conservative majority, but which ones are going to dig in on the more sympathetic to various causes. Yeah, we'll see.
Do we know when that's likely to be determined?
No word on when a decision is expected. You know, it kind of just pops up out of nowhere, it seems.
I'm slated to chat with Judge Andrew Napolitano tomorrow, right around this time. So that's going to be first and foremost on my agenda to ask him about because he's pretty good with the Supreme Court stuff. Thank you, James.
You got it, Frank.
And now you know the rest of the story.
All right. We will continue with your calls at 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. You can also find me on Twitter at Frank Morano. That's Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. Debbie in Nebraska has been waiting a while. Hi, Debbie. I'm sorry to have kept you holding.
Oh, no problem. This is really probably the first time I've listened to this situation for. But I was up, so I'm listening.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, the first conversation was about your cat peeing everywhere. And I'm really quite old, in my 70s. So, you know, my first, you know, fun was the 45 record and then the 33 albums. And, you know, it's just insane. I do not know how to download. My husband died 10 years ago. Before he died, we were making disability income of $3,000 or $3,000 a month. And he died before me. I was 2 years older than him. And then it went because I worked a full-time job as a banker. I have my master's degree from Northwestern University in Chicago, which I'm very honored to have because I'm an undergraduate at UNL Lincoln. And my goal was to have a law degree, but the bank, when we moved to Grand Island, Nebraska, was able to, you know, send me to graduate trust school. So I have my master's from Northwestern University. And, you know, I guess I'm just a little girl from a little town of 180 people. And blue collar, and you know, to be able to go to such a fine institution and have the bank pay for every penny.
That's great. I'm envious.
Wonderful. I mean, it was wonderful. But I feel like I feel like I should have been born in the 1800s or something. I mean, I absolutely did not want anybody to say anything about WWW. You know, I'm a conspiracist. My dad was always saying, you know, have your guns, know how many you got, but never tell anybody where your ammunition is, you know. And, you know, Russia was always going to invade us, so we needed always to have guns, you know. But, you know, Second Amendment is, of course, very important for us in the Midwest. And I don't know. I just feel like there's the East Coast and then the West Coast and then there's humans.
fair enough, Debbie. Did you want to have one other comment? Otherwise, I want to get to a few other folks here.
No, I'm just saying this thing about, I mean, I'm just so thankful that I don't know how to download. I don't know how to streamline. I don't know how to do any of that, you know, and to not have a DVD of something to be able. I mean, I wish I could have. I mean, I had a bunch of VCRs. I don't even have the VCR player now. I mean, I just feel like I got I don't know, whirlwind. I mean, first of all, that like Avatar and all these. I mean, Disney, we love Disney. We had Snow White and all of
this. Debbie, let me run just because I want to try and get to some other folks. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you calling. I'm sorry about your husband, and I'm sorry about being born in the wrong era. You know, I don't feel that way. I don't wish that I was born in another era. I'm very comfortable where we are now. I just don't think we need to completely close the book on some of the things that were going well in other eras. Joel in Manhattan, hi.
Hi, Frank. Good talk. Two things on DVD and then also branching to CD. DVD, the one thing that I think is great is to have the after possibility to hear the director's cut and that sort of thing going on.
I love that. I watched the Coppola director's cut of both Godfather 1, 2, and 3 more times than I can count, and I learned something every time. With Citizen Kane, the DVD of Citizen Kane, they let you watch it once with the commentary from Roger Ebert, and then you can watch it again with a commentary from Peter Bogdanovich. And both of them are so great and so different in what they offer in that commentary that is – it's just not the same with digital.
It really does make a difference to have that capability. I think that is the best thing about DVD. One other thing I want to mention briefly about CDs, which is kind of like a little bit of a dying thing too, because there are fewer of them produced, but they still have them out there. Now they have CD transports, which allow you to use a separate DAC, and some of these transports have up converting signals so you can get a higher quality sound squeezed out of that disc to a maximum hi-fi quality. So all the CDs that I've had, you know, from the past, I'm listening to them because I picked up one of those, and it really does make a difference. And it's also the thing, it's tactile. It can never be taken away from you. Like, you know, if your streaming service isn't working for some reason, I do recommend Cobits for a streaming service.
Well, what is that? Good. What is that that you just said?
Cobits. Q-O-B-U-Z.
I was reading an article and it mentions that. Briefly, can you explain to me what that is?
This is a streaming service that offers FLAC files and files which are uncompressed to the point where you get up to 192 kilohertz or something, 192, 198, I can't remember what the figure is. But your normal CD only goes to 44.1.
Interesting.
So that little extra quality, like there's the darkness qualities of the music where it just kind of like blanks out and then nothing. It's more, and then it extends like the image. Yeah, go ahead.
Joel, I'm sorry. I have to run. I apologize. We're going to do 15 seconds of fame in a moment. 800-848-9222, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. The Other Side of Midnight. This is 15 Seconds of Fame.
Mike!
Morning, Frank. A digital file is not the same as holding a book and turning the page, the smell of the paper that it's printed on. A DVD will survive into the future. It's something you can hold in your hand, and as long as you have a device to play it on, it will last forever. That digital file, not so much.
E. Frank.
Yes, Frank. I want to send my blessings towards Zach Wilson, who's now of the Denver Broncos. But, Frank, I went to a four-year college, and it was rare to have protests. What's wrong with these university students? Aren't they intelligent enough to...
Ray.
After listening to AOC's comments from about the protesters... She should be known from now and forevermore as A0C.
Raji.
As soon as Rosenberg and Dom Carter joined WABC, they both overtly announced no anti-Jewish or anti-Israel calls, period. However, other hosts practice censorship more covertly.
Alfredo.
Frank, I have a question. Who fell asleep in the first hour of the program?
That was Matt Blaze. Donna.
Yeah, hi, Frank. As you know, I deliver newspapers, and it drives me crazy when people say to me, people still read newspapers? I go crazy. Yes, people read newspapers, and I would be out of a job if people didn't read newspapers. Thank you.
Brian.
Hey, Frank, I totally agree with you about, you know, tipping. I refuse to tip based on taxes. Like, I get the bill, you know, taxes are involved. Now I got a tip on that. Come on.
Ham.
Donald Trump, Richard Branson, Elon Musk, welcome to the fight of counterfeiting, short naked, selling shares on Wall Street, Fraud Street. $9 billion a day is being stolen from the U.S. equity markets. Time for Ken Griffin and Citadel to be investigated.
Frank Moreno, good day.